Well, dear saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Scandal! Did I scare you guys? Sorry. Scandal! What is going on? His fiance is pregnant, and get this, it's not his. Scandalous! Can you believe this? What is going on? And now it's heading towards divorce the only way it should, right? Boy, it gets a little soapy at this point, doesn't it? During this last Sunday of Advent, we get a little peek and a little preview of Christmas. And this is a good reminder that for many who are expecting the Savior of the world to come, it didn't quite look how they expected it to look. It looked scandalous. It looked strange. And that baby, that Savior, looked a little too small, right? And you know how it goes. From Matthew chapter 1, we just read this. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. You know, I think it'd be really easy to make Joseph a hero of the faith, wouldn't it? I mean, think about the faith of Joseph. What faith he had. I mean, think about this. Joseph was asked to believe because of a dream. Remember, this is the angel coming to him in a dream. He doesn't even get to be awake while he sees the angel. Comes to him in a dream, right? Ask Joseph to believe in a dream that Mary, her baby, was not illegitimate, that the baby was conceived by the Holy Spirit, but also, not only not illegitimate, but also that this baby would be none other than the foretold Messiah, God himself in the flesh. Now, I know that we, having grown up with Christmas, we are pretty familiar. Yep, God comes in the flesh, right? Guys, for Joseph, God had never done that before. What do you mean God's going to come in the flesh? As a baby, can God fit in a baby shape? Can God fit in human form? What do you mean? So not only is he asked by the angel in a dream to believe that this baby is not illegitimate, but also that this baby would be none other than God himself, the Messiah, in the flesh as he had never done before, but also Joseph would believe that this baby would save the world. And by the way, would Joseph get to live to see how this baby would save the world? No! What a dream! Joseph, trust me. The baby's legitimate. He's God, and he's going to save the world, and he's going to look like a baby while doing it. What do you mean? I don't know about you, but that must have been some dream, right? For Joseph to wake up and believe that what had actually happened was not just merely a dream, but an angel from God with a true message for Joseph? Now, what I might offer to you, though, and while I don't want to take it away from Joseph, I think he was a hero of the faith, But maybe he wasn't just a hero, but maybe more so a hearer. A hearer. He received the revealed word of God. And God worked through the Holy Spirit just like he did in Mary to conceive Jesus, used the Holy Spirit to conceive in Joseph faith. Faith in the word that he had received, the revealed word from God that he had received. And, you know, I kind of wonder if there was maybe more to the dream. Now this isn't in scripture, all right? But I kind of wonder if there was a little bit of a conversation going on where Joseph was like, all right, this sounds pretty unbelievable. Come on, does God really work in these ways? And I kind of wonder if God, or maybe if the angel said this, Joseph. You got to say it right, all right? Joseph. And I wonder if Joseph's namesake would have helped Joseph to believe. Now, again, this is not in scripture, but it's a little uncanny how Joseph has the name Joseph. Because you remember that Joseph, the one from the Old Testament, right? The Old Testament Joseph, you might remember, he was one from among 12 brothers, right? And he was the one of the youngest, all right? He was the second to the youngest. And he would talk about how he had dreams, oh, like this Joseph, right? That Joseph had dreams as well, that all the brothers were going to bow down and worship him. And like any brothers, they didn't like that very much. So what do? Like any brothers, they throw them in a pit and they sell them to an Egyptian trader, right? Like any brother would, right? Joseph goes down to Egypt, not willingly, but as a slave. He's sold into this household and he is falsely accused. I'm trying to sleep with the boss's wife. Not a good thing. Doesn't this sound soapy, right? And so he's thrown into the dungeon, he's thrown into prison, and there he's forgotten for years until finally Pharaoh has a dream, and they're looking for somebody to interpret Pharaoh's dream. Oh, it's a dream again. Doesn't this sound familiar? And Joseph is called up from the dungeon, correctly interprets the dream, right? And Pharaoh puts him in charge at his right hand, and Joseph saves the whole world. You wouldn't really expect some kid brother to save the whole world, especially after being falsely accused and put into a dungeon. But Joseph goes through something like a humiliation, a false accusation, a descent into the dungeon, and then an exaltation all the way to the salvation of many. Joseph is kind of a Messiah figure. And that's why I kind of wonder if the angel went, Joseph. Joseph. You know that God can work in strange ways. So when I, an angel, tell you, Joseph, that God can send a Messiah as a baby, to save the world, you can trust that. I kind of wonder if that Joseph prepares this Joseph for God to work in unexpected ways. And what had the angel said? She will bear a son, and you shall call his name. Oh, good. Okay. You guys knew that. All right. For he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This Messiah figure that Joseph was expecting would save his people from their sins. By the way, you know what that Joseph, the one in the Old Testament, how that story ended? There was a great famine in the land, and he was second in command in Egypt, and he was in charge of making sure everybody had enough food to get through the famine. And his brothers, who had thought that Joseph must be long dead, come to Egypt on behalf of their family looking for food, and they come and they ask who? Joseph. Now, Joseph could have done to them what any kid brother would have, right? And thrown them into the dungeon or sold them to slave traders. But you know how the story ends? With that Joseph saying, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive. And just like that Joseph, this Joseph is being asked to trust in the same God. He uses Messiah figures so that many people would be kept alive. Because you know what? This Joseph is being asked to believe that this baby that he is to care for would undergo, just like Joseph, a humiliation. God becoming human in the flesh. And he would undergo a false accusation that he is a sinner deserving death, and that he would descend into death and even descend into hell, all so that he might be exalted, risen from the dead, and ascend to the right hand, not of Pharaoh, but of God Almighty himself, so that the salvation of many would be accomplished. Joseph, this Joseph, is asked to believe in a Messiah figure. Now here's the uncanny part, is that God didn't need Joseph. God did not need Joseph to understand. God did not need Joseph to assist. What did God ask of this Joseph? To name a baby. And to confess his faith in this Messiah by naming him a baby. Naming him Jesus. I don't know, I think Jonathan would have been a great name for Joseph to use. But instead, he confesses faith that this baby would actually save the world from their sins. And so he names him Jesus. Joseph was asked to just simply have faith, enough faith to name a baby, and God's promise to work. As we end the season of Advent and as we look forward to Christmas, we've been talking about preparing for our King. And I think today we end with simply preparing for God to work. And how do we as Christians prepare for God to work? Well, we, like Joseph, we name Jesus, Jesus, trusting that he will save his people from their sins. We confess that God works, and when he works through Jesus. Now I think that we've got to get a couple things out of the way, all right? Because when we have a Christian faith does not just believe in what I might call Christian karma, nor do we believe in Christian cooperation, all right? You got that? So what we do is when we believe, now I know this is pretty common, and I myself believe this, all right, that God works in strange ways. Hey, have you ever experienced that God works in strange ways? All right, we got two people. Great, cool. All right. God works in strange ways. God works in ways that you would not expect. God works in life situations that you might not really sign up for yourself, but he does work through those ways, all right? You know, many Christians, they stop right there at their faith. That simply believing God only means that he's working in strange ways. I call that Christian karma. All right, well, this might be bad right now, but God's going to use this for something good for my life. That might be true, but if that's all your faith is, that's a tiny faith. Our faith is more than that. And it's also more than God's got a plan for your life. Praise God, it's not just about a plan for your life. There's a whole lot more that God promises for you than just a plan for this life on earth. And it's also not this, and it's certainly not this, and there goes my sermon, it's certainly not that God works only when you keep up your end of the deal. Boy, how often do we believe that? Not only that God's got a plan in your life and he works through strange things, but that God only works for you in your life when you keep up your end of the deal. Only if you promise to go to church every week. Now, should you go to church every week? Yeah. But God will only do good things for you if you promise to go to church every week. Or God will only do good things for you if you do good things to others. Or God will only do good things for you if you promise to read your Bible every single day. It makes God into a deal maker. To use car salesmen. But friends, trusting God to work is more than that. You know what's the problem with those? With that Christian karma and Christian cooperation? Is that it makes you the hero of your story. Who's the hero of your story? Jesus. That's the faith of Joseph. That's the faith like Joseph. To name the baby Jesus. Trusting that He is the one to save the world. That He is the one to save you. That Jesus is the hero of your story, not you. And so what does it mean to have Christian faith and preparing for God to work? Well, it means this. Like Joseph, trusting that the work of Jesus will fix everything. It's trusting Jesus to fix everything. What had the angel told Joseph? That which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. That Jesus comes to be a human in your place. Have any of you lived the life that you're supposed to live? No, but who's the hero of your story? Jesus. And He comes to live your life in your place for you and to give you all the credit. Which is why you don't need to hold up your end of the bargain. Which is why that God does not do good things for you only if you go to church every week, or only if you read your Bible, or only if you pray, because Jesus lives your life in your place. He comes to be human in your place to live a perfect life for you. And He does that so that He might come and redignify humanity and redignify you. He is conceived in the womb of Mary. And what else had the angel said? You shall call His name, for He will save His people from their sins. And dear Christian, He comes to save you from your sin. And it's not you overcoming your sin. It's not willpower or sheer grit to try to not sin. It's not trying to outweigh the sins that you've had with good things. No! Who saves you from your sin? Jesus! He is the hero of your story. He takes it all on Himself, and He takes it to the cross, and He dies to sin so that your sin might die. And what had the angel said? They shall call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus comes not only to be human in your place, and not only to save you from your sin, but to be God for you. You know what that means? He's not any old baby. He's not a regular human being. He's 100% human being, but He's not just any baby or any human being. He happens also to be fully God. And you know what that means? The work that He does for you is completely sufficient. His salvation that He wins for you is 100% effective. It's not like the sanitizing commercials, right? The soap commercials that are 99.99% effective. No. He is God Almighty, all powerful. It's not 99.99. It's 100%. Is there anything left for you to do? Not even 0.01%. He's God, and everything He does is sufficient for you. He does everything necessary for you to be saved. And so like Joseph, it is trusting that when God sends Jesus, that Jesus does everything necessary. He fixes everything. But it's also, like Joseph, receiving Jesus as the one who works. Because that's what Joseph did, isn't it? The angel sent Joseph word that he would receive Jesus. And dear Christian, he does the same for you, that you might receive Jesus now. And that's why you go to church, not because you owe God, but because it's here where you get to receive Jesus. You get to receive his word. And you get to receive his forgiveness again and again and again. And you get to even receive his own body and blood. You get to receive Jesus like Joseph. And it's where, like Joseph, you take his word and you live it out. You live in confession of who Jesus is. Just like Joseph named Jesus because he believed that this baby would forgive sins, you also take this word that you have received from God himself and you live it out in the name of Jesus. How does believing in Jesus change how you live? For Joseph, it meant naming a baby. Preparing for God to work is banking on what God does through Jesus. And friends, it might look scandalous, and it might be incomprehensible. But like that Joseph from the Old Testament, and like this Joseph who is here and about to receive Jesus, it is trusting God to work through Jesus, not just in this life and not just your life, but that God works through Jesus, who comes as a baby to save the whole world. Because that is how God works. In Jesus' name, amen.